Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora and welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrig and this is the show where we uncover the stories behind New Zealand's most exciting distilleries and the people bringing them to life. Today, we're heading to the foothills of Mount Ruapehu in the middle of the North Island to a vibrant little town of Ohakuni, a famous place for its giant carrots, its rich growing volcanic soil, its enormous chocolatey eclairs, and now a brand new distillery doing something completely unexpected with it. I'm joined by Susan Delaney, founder of Ruapehu Distillery, who has just launched her very first gin. It's called the Straight Up Carrot Gin. And I have to say, I don't think I've been more excited or more intrigued to try a gin. I mean, who uses a carrot as a botanical? Well, Susan does. So let's unpack this story. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Susie. I feel really privileged to be invited since we've only recently launched, and it's an absolute pleasure and lovely to be here, so thanks.
Thank you. Right, so before we get on about your carrot gin, let's start at the beginning. Before Ruapehu Distillery was even an idea, what's your background, what first sparked your interest in the world of spirits?
Okay, well, this isn't uncommon from what I've heard about distillers come from many different backgrounds, but I was actually in education for 30 years and was a DP at a primary school for about 15 of those. And the logical next step was to be a principal, but I decided instead to do something completely different. I thought, I've got a few good years left in me, and my husband always said that I have the nose of a truffle pig. And so I did get into making some cocktails, and I had a page called Cocktail on the Rock, and I was posting them on the socials, and people started to send me booze to make cocktails with and promote their products on my page. And I'd always loved putting flavours together, you know, things like making syrups and shrubs and using base spirits with a whole lot of different flavour profiles. And I really enjoyed the different learning, you know, different techniques, like there was fat washing of spirits, and I tried to push the boundaries with low sugar cocktail options. But then one day I just sort of wondered, I wonder how you actually make booze. Well, that turned out to be a real rabbit hole. So I came home one day and I said to my asylum partner, I said, I really want to learn how to make booze, but I don't want to go on my own, and will you come with me? But your job, you'll have to listen to figure out all the things, you know, to do with the plumbing and electrical, because that doesn't really spin my wheels, and I need you there for that. So I did the courses through Alembics, through Jill and Alembics in Waiheke Island. And I brought a couple of traditional stills from Portugal and started home distilling in the lounge with the stills set up and plumbed and the water reticulated into the garden tank downstairs. And not everyone has a distillery in their lounge. And I remember our kids at the time thought we were a bit nuts. So I dabbled in many different kinds of spirits. I did lots of gin. Made lots of gin from fermenting sugar washes. I made vermouth, limoncello, but my passion really lay in making rum and whiskey. And I loved learning about the fermentation and yeast and nutrients and the impact of that on the yield and the final product. And then I loved watching and tasting the maturation in wood and casks and the interplay between the wood and the spirit and the end product. And I was really keen to see what that diurnal difference would be in mature, like when if I matured spirits in Uakuni's climate with the, you know, really hot days and cold nights. So that's kind of where it all sort of started from.
Okay, so was there a moment where the curiosity sort of turned into a commitment and you thought, actually, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, so through the cocktail page, I'd met Marcel from Heaps Good Gin in Adelaide in Australia, and she saw me posting some of the distillation videos that I made, and she actually suggested a course, which was the Distillers Institute, and it was based in Australia, mm-hmm. and it was all online, so you could do, you know, it's sort of self-paced, and it had monthly webinars, and the New Zealand component to it was influenced by one of its directors, Mr. Gin, Marcel Thompson. So I did that course, which was more like a business course on distilling, if you like, and see really if setting up a distillery was viable, and basically did an entire business plan and decided at the end of that, well, yes, I'm in. And through part of that process, we'd already started to think about possible locations and buildings that might be suitable to set up a distillery.
Right. Okay. So this is, I love this part of your story because you're currently based in Auckland, but now your distillery is rooted in Ohakuni. What came first? Was it the idea of sort of creating the distillery, or did you really want that reason to end up in Ohakuni and then you discovered that maturing them in spirits in Ohakuni worked?
Well, it was both, really. We had already had some land in Ohakuni, and I had looked at putting a distillery on that, but it was complicated. It was zoned rurally. It had a bridge that made it difficult, you know, for trucks to access for deliveries and things. Yeah. It would have been on septic tank, and it ultimately needed resource consent, etc. So what I did was I forefronted the idea with the local council right from the start, and I knew from those conversations that a distillery needed to be located in an industrial zone since it was an industrial activity. So we then decided to buy an industrial piece of land, and the right commercial space was really hard to find down there. It was really limited. And any building that we leased, it would have needed so much retrofitting that the investment in somebody else's property didn't sit comfortably with us. So I sold that original piece of land, and we fired ahead with building a distillery from scratch on the industrial site. And luckily, it is on the edge of a new subdivision, and it still has beautiful mountain views. But the idea was to create an inviting space for visitors and tourists to come and see a working distillery and enjoy the taste experience of the local spirits that we create. So I suppose we already had that connection in Ohakuni, and we love the outdoors and how skiing and biking is literally on our doorstep. I can jump on my bike and in a few minutes I'm on the old coach road. It's 20 minutes to the Turoa car park. So it's a lifestyle that was extremely appealing. And adventure is, it's embedded into the daily life and the accessibility is right there.
Yeah.
So as a keen mountain biker and skier, I didn't really want my passion for the outdoors to be squeezed in around work. I just wanted it to be part of the rhythm of the business itself. And a day can start with a quick bike up the Hapa Whenua Viaduct on the old coach road, or a couple of hours skiing in the morning and come back and open the tasting room, or fire up Nigella, our copper pot still, and do some distilling.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, now let's talk about the actual gin, carrot gin. It's bold, it's unexpected. Where on earth did the idea come from? I mean, you could have chosen mountain botanicals or something like that, but tell us about why carrot.
Well, I have this silent partner who's not always that silent, and he may have suggested it, but to me it was an obvious choice since Oakuni was famous for carrots that grow so well in the volcanic soils. And interestingly, the market gardeners started growing carrots back in the early 1900s, and the paddocks were all soon filled with carrots and sold all over the place. And of course, there's the 7-foot carrot that came from an ad on TV back in the 80s, and it now stands proud at the Carrot Park. And it is photographed by thousands of visitors that pass through Oakuni. So, in fact, you know, it was really screaming out to be used. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so as we've talked, Oakuni, of course, is famous for its carrot. What made you confident, though, that it would work?
So that's a really good question. I did heaps of experimentation and research. I tried boiling it and fermenting it. I tried to extract the colour out of it, but all I got was something that really belonged down the toilet. I tried macerating it and infusing it, and I tried varying strengths of neutral spirit. I tried carrot powder. There was a long list of bad attempts and failures, and it did test my confidence. But in the end, I suppose I came back to what I knew and played around with that option on a small scale. And I suppose my initial resistance, particularly with the silent partner, was profoundly around that internal dialogue of actually, how am I going to make this work? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, let's get geeky for a moment. How exactly is the carrot used in the distillation?
So firstly, as everything we do is based on a local ethos, I contacted Kim Young and Sons from up the road near Horopito, and I told him what I was up to. And he said to me, he said, it's not carrot season. I said, I do know that because I had talked to him previously. And he said, can you not wait until the 1st of February? And I said, no, I've waited for 4 long years. I can't wait any longer. And so he handpicked them, went out, handpicked them, delivered them with the dirt still on. And actually that photo is on my latest blog about carrots on my website. So the not so silent partner, he scrubbed them all, scraped them and cut them into chunks. And I hung them inside Nigella in a mesh cloth and did basically a vapor distillation method with them. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that, how long did it take to develop the recipe? What was the whole, obviously you've talked about the different styles that you tried to use the carrot. How long did it take to develop? How many attempts did you have?
I had a few attempts, definitely around how the carrot was interacting with different ways to extract the colour out. But it was sort of, I knew that the idea of carrot gin could be polarizing. So I had tried macerating it in ethanol for different time periods too, but I found that the carrot was too overpowering with that method. And what I discovered during that development was that it sort of became an unlikely hero. And instead of getting something that tasted like carrot juice or overly vegetal, the carrot actually provides an incredible mouthfeel. And I suppose it was just lots of playing around, and I sort of did a few distillations to size up as well. Yeah.
And did you want it to showcase the carrot, or was it more that you were wanting it to play like a supporting role alongside the other traditional botanicals?
Yeah, definitely more of a supporting role. I didn't want that, you know, overpowering element. I was trying to, I suppose it's similar to a London dry gin, so I wanted it to be well balanced. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely was more in that supporting role and achieving that balance rather than it coming out too vegetal. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So for those of us that haven't tried it, how would you describe the taste of your straight up carrot gin? What surprises people most when they take a first sip?
Well, it's a bright citrus on the nose, and it leads with juniper on the palate, and it's followed closely by a subtle earthy sweetness. Mm-hmm. And I've been calling it the unlikely hero because it's given it a really lovely mouthfeel, and then you're left with the gentle kick and warmth from the Hautepito peat. And generally people have been pleasantly surprised as soon as they smell it. Many detect the carrot and the bright citrus note. Mm-hmm. It is 43% ABV, and I wanted it to be equally as enjoyable as a sipping gin, and something mm-hmm. that also stands up well in a G&T or be versatile in a cocktail. But I found when I did dilute it to 20% with water that the botanicals really do open up and shine through, and I do detect more carrot on the nose when it is diluted at that percentage. Yeah, but it's definitely been really well received.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, now I've also seen on social media it's popping up in a few local Ōkuni bars already, which is a great sign. How are the bartenders choosing to serve it? Is there any sort of standout garnishes or cocktails that really bring the character of the carrot out?
Yeah, well, I'm really stoked at the local support that we've had so far. All of the bars and restaurants are stocking it, and, you know, it's just been really well received. There's a few cocktails appearing, and I know that a few are being developed as we speak. There was a St. Paddy's Day one last week. There's been a Caratini. And one I tried the other night was a Hautepito martini using straight up carrot gin. And the bartender leaned into the Hautepito, which is, you know, our New Zealand native pepper tree, and mm-hmm. used it as a garnish. And it looked absolutely stunning. It was extremely well balanced and utterly delicious. And the Hautepito garnish, what it did was it slowly warmed the drink. As you were drinking it. And so I thought, wow, there's real potential here with that idea to make the gin work in wintertime. And the bar manager there has trialled a few cocktails with the straight up carrot gin, and they all sound incredible. They looked and had taken amazing photographs. So I'm really excited and looking forward to see what ends up on the cocktail menus. Yeah.
Ooh, very exciting. If you're driving through Ōkuni, you have to stop. And that's interesting what you say about the Hautepito, because yeah. I can imagine that would be never seen it used as a garnish, though.
I sort of thought most people would lean more into the carrot. And I had this guy come into the tasting room, and he's in the industry, and he calls himself an avid libationist. And he has created a Caratini, and he is really into quirky spirits. So he picked up a couple of bottles to take back to England, and he created a garnish made with candied carrot and lime, which I do need to try, because I think that then is used as sort of the sugar syrup to sweeten the martini. But I'm just in awe of people's creativity and really excited to explore all those possibilities. Yeah.
That is very, very exciting. Now, starting a gin brand right now, when New Zealand already has hundreds of incredible gins on the shelves, is no small feat. What gave you the confidence to jump in, and what do you feel makes your approach stand out?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, firstly, I don't think it's just about the liquid. I think it's about the people and the place. And although a slightly mad idea, given the saturation in the market, I did do the CIBD qualification in distilling. And I think that really helped me have the confidence to jump on in, although at times I felt like it was sticking pins in my eyes. I did a lot of research, reading, and I listened to millions of podcasts, and I learned so much. And from every aspect of building and design to, you know, research every piece of equipment required, from hazardous area plans to all the compliance hoops that I jumped through, and from social media to sales, and I did a huge deep dive into marketing. And as part of that, I looked at all the gins across New Zealand and found that no one was using carrot as a botanical. So I thought that it could be a niche. I thought it was something different, something bold, something unexpected, but something familiar.
Yeah.
And I thought it might just work. And so I was very intentional also about limiting the amount of botanicals in the gin, as I was quite nervous about how each one would interact with the carrot, particularly under heat, and how they might express themselves when I sized up to the big still. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I did have another secret weapon as well.
Oh, yes.
By me, which I had Kim Hill from Double Agent, and she's the most incredibly talented artist who developed the label and website design. And funny story, so keeping it local again, Kim happens to have a house over the back fence from the distillery. And we got chatting one day, and long story short, we went to school together in Timaru about 100 years ago. So Kim's really jumped on board and been a huge influence and supporter, and has worked tirelessly. And I just love how she's encapsulated that local area through a label design. And she's picked up the outline of the mountain and the lunar moons reflected.
And yeah,
taking sunsets that are all around the central plateau.
And it's stunning.
Yeah.
She's done a stunning job.
Yeah. And now, the lunar moons reflected from the car park at Turoa Ski Field. So she's really just depicted the whole area really well. And I love her carrot that she's done, because it's something that could have been quite gimmicky. But yeah, I think she's created a label design that really reflects the high quality gin that's in the bottle. And I think it stands out brilliantly on the shelf.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It does. It does look stunning. I have to agree. Now, as we mentioned, you have only just launched, which is huge. And I can imagine your mind's boggling away and racing ahead with what's next. Just quickly, before we wrap it up, is there any sort of new ideas that are bubbling away, or where to next for Ruapehu Distillery?
Yeah, well, my mind's in a constant state of bubbling. But I have a bit of a mantra, which is to stick to the knitting, know your numbers every day and manage your cash flow. And those words resonate me from everything that we've learned. The small steps first, with clear goals down the track. I'm really keen to promote the tours and tastings. It's an area I want to grow. I've got great support with our local businesses, the EyeSight and Tourism New Zealand, and getting the gin into obviously more off-premise bottle stores and on-premise with bars and restaurants wider than the local area. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
And I'm also involved in a local event at Easter called Taste, to be held at the kitchen in Oakuni. And it's really exciting. It's going to be, lots of tupper style food, and Crumpet from Wellington is going to make some uber cool cocktails featuring straight up carrot gin. I'll be there offering tastings and no doubt serve a few gin and tonics too.
Oh, amazing. Well, that definitely does sound exciting. Right. And to finish, it's the end of the working week, Susan. How do you enjoy your straight-up carrot gin? What's your perfect serve?
Well, first, it has to be easy. So, and I'm definitely influenced by the weather when it comes to imbibing. So hot, sunny days, it calls for straight-up carrot gin and soda or sonic, a mixture between soda and tonic.
Yep.
Especially in the distillery garden, in the late sun, and it's an absolute bonus if the mountain's out. If it's on the cooler side, I absolutely love a good old boozy Negroni. The gin goes really well with bright orange citrus complementing the Campari in the Negroni. But my all-time favourite, which I can drink in any weather condition, is a dry martini. Very dry, with a lick of vermouth and stirred, of course, not shaken.
Ooh, That certainly does sound delicious. I can imagine it in a Negroni. Right, Susan, thank you so much for joining me today. The story is such a brilliant reminder of how place and creativity and a little bit of bold thinking can come together to create something completely unique. From Auckland to Ohakuni and from carrots in the ground to carrots in the glass, what you're building in Ruapehu Distillery is something truly special for the New Zealand spirit scene, and I look forward to watching you grow. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Susie. It's been great. Cheers.
Right, now, if you're curious as I am, and trust me, you should be, head to nzspiritguide.com where you can find Ruapehu Distillery and follow the links through to grab a bottle of straight up carrot gin for yourself. And for those of you out there that have tried it, go and rate and review it at nzspiritguide.com and let us know what you think. I'd love to hear how it surprises you. Until next time, support local, buy direct, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.